Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Amen. All right, we are finishing up the series we're calling Warring for a Nation. And how many know if we don't make war for a nation, the enemy will win? Yeah. Now, we spent the last 2 weeks talking about this, but I believe that every war has one main question when it breaks out. One main question everybody's wondering, whether it be the Afghan War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, the Grenada little skirmish we had there and things like that, is who gonna win? That's what we want to know. If we're at war right now with Iran, we gonna want to, who's gonna win? And we are in the name of Jesus, amen? Okay, so that is the question, because if all we ever talk about is the battle, and not who's gonna win, how many know people can get wore out? Yeah. Constantly talking about battle, you kind of leave sometimes discouraged. Yes. And I don't want you to leave discouraged today knowing that you are going to have battles, you are going to have wars to fight, but I want you to know that you know, again, and I can only speak for Journey Church, so this note's going to have our name in it, but as for me in this house, in our house, go ahead and put that first note up, I want you to understand, Journey Church, we're not fighting for victory, we are learning to fight from our victory. And that's the whole concentration, that you got to understand it. We're not trying to gain a victory, we've already won. So our battles are from our victory, not to gain a victory. And that's a mindset that, and that's got to be transformed to the church of the living God. If we were trying to fight for victory, that means Jesus has still stuff to do that didn't get accomplished. And we're going to learn today, he has done everything to where we are allowed the privilege as kingdom citizens of heaven now living on earth, that we are fighting from our victories, not just for them. Say amen to that. How do I know this? Because the crucifixion of Jesus Christ settled the outcome forever. I mean, when he was nailed to the cross, Satan lost. And then to put as we would say it, pun intended, to put the nail in the coffin, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, that announced to the entire world the total triumphant victory belongs to him forever. Amen. Yes. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Matter of fact, we got a lot of scriptures today, so I'm going to try to run through this as fast but as slow as possible where you make sure you get this today. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more. Everybody say more. If you went through our past equip class that we had here, our last set where we all were together in here as adults, what was the title of the thing? More than conquerors. We had whole 6 lessons on learning how we are more than conquerors. And so here it is. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And who loved us the most? Jesus. And because of him, we are absolutely more than just a conqueror. Amen. We have triumphed over the evil. Come on now, amen. Now, here's the thing, and I want to get this mindset out of you. We're not hoping we win this war. We're not hoping to have a good outcome. We're not hoping we succeed. If you've read the back of the book, we've won. Amen? Yeah, we're going to go through some battles, but the war has already been settled. You understand that, okay? We belong to the conqueror who is the King of Kings. Not a king, but he's the King of all kings. And I want to mention this again to make sure you understand this, because so many times, and I released this word several years ago, that there's coming a time in America where we will either trust in God or we will trust in government. Okay? It's getting closer, okay? Some people are already there trusting the government over God. But nevertheless, and I can't remember, I said it the first week or last week, I can't remember. There has never been an elected official, a governor, a mayor, a dictator come into office and overthrow of a government. There's never been a person sitting in what some people would consider the highest office in the land, a president, a vice president. No elected official has ever defeated Satan. Only King Jesus. He has defeated Satan, not is, has. Don't you ever say it's over. Again. Now, go ahead, that's the note. Go ahead and put it up. Jesus has already defeated Satan. Sometimes I think we still living like he's battling him. The battle belongs to us, but the victory has already been settled for us too. That makes sense, okay? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. The Bible describes us here. It says, you were dead, all of us, because of our sins. That makes you dead. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But this declares, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Everybody say, cut away. Now, watch this now. I love this. Then God, everybody say, then God. Then God, and him alone, no one else. Make sure you understand that today. Then God alone made you alive with Christ. Everybody say, with Christ. For he forgave what? Some? All of our sins. All of them. Touch your neighbor and say, that's a good thing for you. Because you probably know your neighbor you're sitting by pretty decent. Not only did he forgive them, now watch this in verse 14. The Bible says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Man, isn't that, I don't know if your neighbor understands how good that is for them, but they need to. I know you already there, but your neighbor may need to know that's the good news. Amen. Now going down to verse 15. Now watch this. In this same way, he disarmed. Everybody say disarmed. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Come on. He shamed them publicly by his victory. Whose victory? His victory over them where? It settled it. The cross settled the victory. Who's going to win that battle? When we know there's a spiritual war and we have that to face sometimes, we already know the battle's real, but the war is over. It's already been decided. We win. We're of God, therefore we're of him, therefore we're of everything he's done. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you this right here. Now, so many times in that last part it says, in this way he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by having victory over them on the cross. Now, we're talking about our sins here and the things that sends us to hell. Now, Jesus didn't come to just forgive sin. Now, think about that. If we could just get them forgiven, we'd be, and we can. But he didn't come just to forgive sin. He came and conquered sin. Okay? So quit trying maybe just to, Lord, forgive me. How about getting to a place where you can conquer it? Where you don't have to have it forgiven because it cannot get on you anymore. That's the war we're talking about. You've already won, but Satan's convinced you, no, you ain't won that. You always going to be like this. Talk about that some more here in just a minute. Again, if he publicly defeated every one of that, see, he didn't just defeat sin. Who's the author of sin? It is Satan and his demonic power. So if he defeated sin, listen to me now, this also means he defeated every demonic being, power, and realm in this earth. You don't defeat sin without defeating Satan and his demonic spirit. So if that's the case, I'm just battling this spirit. You're battling the spirit that's already had its tail whooped. Amen? You just need to make sure you know, and when you know, that demonic spirit will know, and when that demonic spirit knows that you know, he'll leave you alone. Because he knows you're not coming in your own strength and power, you come in the name of Jesus. Wow. And again, can you imagine Satan on that day when he thought, I nailed him to the cross, I got him, my greatest victory. His greatest victory, he thought, became his greatest defeat. in that moment like that. All his power, all his authority was taken from him on that moment. Well, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Now watch this. Because God's children are human beings, touch your neighbor and say, that's us. Now we're made of flesh and blood. Now watch this. I love this. The Son of God also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil. Now watch this. Who did have the power of death. Somebody says, why don't God just kill him? Okay. Now I can't say that this right here is actual in the Bible to the nature of it that I'm about to speak to, but I can find nowhere where any spiritual being can be killed. I can't find it anywhere in the Bible where you can actually kill something it's not flesh, it's not human, it's a spirit being. Satan was named Lucifer in heaven, a created being by God, spiritual being, and spiritual beings cannot be killed, as we know. I'm just saying, okay? So who gave authority to Satan? Man. Created in God's image, but created as a human being. That's why God had to send his son, fully spirit, and let him take on a human. Are you with me? Because in his humanity, he could die a human death that would conquer everything of the satanic realm. I mean, that's it in the scriptures right here. But he did say that Satan has the power of death. Why? Because sin was loosed and the wages of sin is death. But death lost its sting when we're in Christ. Even that greatest power he has, the power of death, that he brought death into the world that was not supposed to have any death. But now Jesus says, well, you may have death, but I got power over that. All they got to do is call on my name, serve me, and they won't never die. I'll just bring them back over here to where they're fully spiritual again, and that's why you'll live forever, because you will be spiritual now. You will not be confined to a human body that can die and get diseased and get afflicted and go through hardships. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Now, it doesn't say when people slip up. It says when people keep on sinning. And if you study that out, that means they get up in the morning or they go to bed at night thinking about it. They rise up planning it, and they voluntarily, on purposely, enter into it with the mindset, I'm going to do this and I'm going to keep doing it. That's somebody who is keeping on sinning. Okay? Sometimes we're in a moment, we get tempted, we make a mistake. It's not talking about that. Now, you can live a life that when you learn those mistakes, and through this word today that the war is already won, you don't have to fall for the mistakes even. Okay? But okay, let's make sure we understand that. Okay? But when people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning but the Son of God came to what? Didn't say forgive him. Didn't say try to restore him. He says he came, I'm going to destroy the works of the devil. And when he says he's got the power to destroy, guess what? He absolutely can destroy and has destroyed it. Amen? Now notice here, it didn't say Jesus come to just improve your life. I think that's what we want today in a modern church. Lord, just come give me a better life, your best life now. Just let me, tiptoe through the tulips. Skip da da do da day. You still live in a fallen world. Yes. Bad things happen to great, awesome, holy, God-fearing people. Yes. Why? We live in a fallen world full of sin, death, disease, and afflictions. Yes. That's why this is not our permanent home. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Everything is temporary. We just had a free yard sale out there. Tons of stuff. A lot of stuff. Lots and lots of stuff. And for some people, it may have been something you cleaned out at your parents' house or a neighbor. And what they thought was, I can't live without this, just got given away. Why? Because all that stuff's temporary. And guess what? The people that come got all that stuff yesterday, they're not going to get to keep it long either. It'll either be thrown away or it'll be passed on to somebody else. This life is futile. But it's important while we're here, we make a difference for eternity, not in ourselves only, but those around us. Amen. Yeah. A little golf clap for Jesus right there. That's pretty good. Now watch this. He destroyed the work. He didn't come just to make your life have some improvements. He came and did destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we just read Satan has the power of death. That's the word of God. Go ahead and put up the next note. I want you to make sure to understand this. Satan is and has some power, but he is nowhere close to being equal with God. But I think he's deceived us to be more afraid of him than we are in walking in the holy fear of the Lord. If somebody says the devil's going to show up at your house today, what would you do? Not send a demon, show up himself personally. What would you do? Lock the doors, get the gun. No. You're going to be going, come on. I got the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus lives over this property. If you could even step foot on here, you're probably going to fry and sizzle when you step on my property. That's how we ought to be thinking if we understand the warfare of the spiritual warfare of God and Satan, that he's already been defeated. If he shows up, he's showing up as a surrendered, defeated devil. Don't give him no more credit than he... Y'all okay? The war's never been about equal power, because there is no one even close to being equal to the power of God. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. And because of this, everybody say the church. Church. Now I'm talking about the church of the living God. Go ahead and put it up the next note. Because of this, the church has been given authority. It wouldn't have done Jesus just any good to just defeat the devil because of him. No. Jesus didn't go do that just for him. He did it for his church. Amen. His body. Why? Where we will now in his name have his power, his authority living in us to while we're living on the earth to defeat Satan at every time he comes into the realm that we're at. Right. I still think like this. Most people think, oh, Satan was cast to earth to torment us while we're here and tempt us and torment us and mess with us and slap us around and do this. No, I think if you really understand warfare, Satan was assigned to earth because God knew that the sons and the daughters of God would rise up in his name. He's here because we're here to torment him. I'll prove this to you in a minute in Scripture. Wow. Somebody say the church has authority. But while we're too busy trying to exercise our judgmental authority on each other, Satan is wreaking havoc. Well. Let's get to some words of Jesus right quick before I get in trouble. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the words of Jesus. He says, and I say to you that you are Peter, talking about the apostle Peter here. Or at this time, he's a disciple. He says, Peter, Simon Barjona is his real name. But he called him Peter because the definition for the word Peter is Petros, which means large rock, large stone. Okay? And he says, and upon this rock I will build what? Not my life. Now, life groups are important, but he said, he didn't say I'm going to build life groups. I'm going to build Sunday school classes. I'm going to build ministries and missionaries. He said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build an organization called the church, the ecclesia in the earth. Now, I want you to get a view of the rest of this scripture. We're going to spend just a little time here. Now, again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, your name's Peter, and I'm going to build this on the rock. I will build my church. Now watch this. And the gates of Hades, which is hell, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What's the it? It's the church. Oftentimes we think the gates of hell are attacking the church and we're supposed to sit there in this defensive mode. That is not a correct teaching. What does it say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I don't know if you noticed something here, but I've never walked up to a gate and it attacked me. Anybody? I've walked up to some gates that have tried to deny me access to go forward. And that's all hell on earth is trying to do. Close every door for you not to go through where you can't have influence. You can't go in there and heal the sick. You can't raise the dead. You can't cast out demons. You can't walk through the power of God. You're too filthy. You've done this. You've done that. This closed off to you. He is a liar. Those gates are put up to keep God's church from advancing. You understand that scripture and proper technology. Gates don't attack. They stop progress. That's all Satan is loosed on earth to do is try to stop the church. And I'm telling you, his gates are holding back a lot of people. Because you've walked up to a gate and go, well, there's a gate. I mean, I can't go in. When Jesus went into the tomb, the Bible says he went 3 days into the belly of the earth. And the Bible describes it like this. He kicked the doors of hell open, went in past the gates, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and then left. There ain't no grave gonna hold him down, and there ain't no gate that can stop him or his church. So the next time that's, I'm fixing to tell them, I have prayed in every school I've ever been in. You can't do that. Baloney. I have not just prayed in every school I've been in. I haven't done it as an open show. I've been able to speak into several schools. But even if I'm not, if I'm walking the hallways, let me tell you something. And I don't care how you believe in the spiritual gifts of God or not. It doesn't matter to me. I got one. You can't tell me it's not. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray in tongues when I'm walking down the hallway. And I'm blessing that place. Oh, you're not, there's a gate up, there's a law. That does not stop the word of God. If it does, it's not, it's your fault, not God's. I love to go into places that says authorized personnel only. I'm serious, I struggle with that. Every time I pass a door that says authorized personnel only, I go, what they got in there? And there's been a few times, you know what, I'm serious, I've done this. I said, I therefore authorize myself. Because it doesn't tell you who, what authority. So I walk in the authority of the kingdom of God, so I'm authorized. And some place, I really probably should cut this out, but of the clip. But a lot of places, if you walk in like you have authority, you go anywhere in the building you want to go. You would be amazed at the places I go into. Authorized personnel only. I poof, kick that door. Good morning. How y'all doing? Hey, is everything going good today? You doing good? You doing good? Awesome, man. Awesome. And you know they're thinking, somebody from corporate's here. And I just stroll around and check things out. Now, I hadn't done it in a while because the Lord has been kind of dealing with me to obey the law of the land. But I'm like, I'm authorized by the kingdom of God. I'm not suggesting you try this. But that's just, anyway, let's get back to preaching. But again, I got to get this verse in your mind that the gates of hell are set up to stop you and your family, to stop the church from getting into the school system and the government structures. It was never meant to be a separation between government and God. It was to keep the government out of the church. You understand that? As a matter of fact, the clause separation of church and state, it is not in the Constitution. It is not in the Bill of Rights. It is not in the Declaration of Independence. It was a letter penned to a church to say, we're not going to be like it was where the government could control the church. We just fought a war about that and taxes, and now we're free. This means that the government can't come to your church and say, you have to worship like this. That's what that was about. But you haven't been taught that. You've been taught, it's the law. There ain't no law. Stupid. I'm not talking to any of y'all here. Go ahead and put up the next note where I can move on. Let me just give it to you like this. Hell is not chasing the church. The church is advancing against hell. That's the way God designed it, created it, and that's the way it should be and will be when we understand we've already won the war. Those gates cannot stop us. Well, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Again, the Lord speaking. He says, behold, watch this now. He says, I give you what? Authority. Whose authority? Now back up two words, and what's the word before authority? This. So in other words, Shane, he gave you authority. You got authority. You got authority. You got authority. Y'all back there got authority. Y'all looked up. That's a good thing. Even Karns back there's got authority. You got authority, sir. Ma'am, you got authority. Amen. He says, I give all this front row. I give you authority. I give everybody in here, if you're a child of God, he says, I have given you authority. Watch this now. To trample on. Not our turn and run. He says, I give you authority to trample on serpents and over scorpions and over some. Over all the power of the enemy. Now watch this. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just put a little golf clap on it. Some of y'all saying, well, I've been hurt before. It can't hurt your spirit, man. Your flesh is going to fall. We're talking the spiritual battles of God. The day I got born again, I'm a spiritually alive forever. I will not, my spirit will never taste death. Death has been swallowed up in the victory of Christ's resurrection. My body will go down. My spirit man will go up in a twinkling of an eye. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm eternal right now. Right now. Eternity with me. Come on now. Some of you go, my gosh, I got enough of you while I'm here. Then I can't help it. I'm going to be there. And I want to see you there too, and so does Jesus. Now, real quickly, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says that even though we were dead, everybody say we're dead. We were dead because of our sin. Nobody else is because of our sin. Now, the he here, stay with me. He, God, everybody say God. He, God, gave us life when he, God, raised Christ, the Son of God, raised him from the dead. Again, I like this parentheses. It is only by grace that you've been saved. Now watch this, verse 6. For he, God, raised us from the dead along with Christ, his Son, and has seated us, the body of Christ, with him, Jesus. That's why we know the war's already been won. I may be living here with my body and my soulish realm, but in the spirit, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms because I am united with Christ Jesus when I got born again. And I think if we could live in that reality, live in that absolute truth, that while we're here, we're also seated with him in his victory, in his triumph over death, hell, and the grave. That's why the Bible says, on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven to me and through me. Don't get excited. Amen. See, your authority comes from knowing your position. But when you don't know your position, that you are seated in the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus spiritually, then you will walk this earth defeated because you think all you are is just an earthly being trying to have a spiritual experience. You are a spirit being on earth going through human experiences, but you're supposed to be going through them to change them to the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. I'm throwing a lot at you today. I know that, but that's okay. It's like drinking from a fire hose. Somebody said, let's get a drink. So because of this, here's what I want you to know about the sins that so easily tempt us and beset us sometimes, as the Bible says. Go ahead and put the next note up. We flat out overcome sin. We do. He has, we do. He has, we've done read that and proved that to you in Scripture. He has defeated him openly, nailed it to the cross. We know he defeated sin. He just didn't defeat sin. He defeated the demonic spirits that cause us to sin. So therefore, we are alive in Christ, seated in heavenly places. Therefore, as we walk this earth, when sin comes at us, we need to know something. We've already got overcoming power that's inside of us. Our battle is our mind, will, and emotions. Which do we want to do? Do we want to please the flesh, or do we want to stay with our overcoming, powerful spirit God? And so many believers, everybody say believers, really have this mentality. Oh, I mean, I guess I'm just going to struggle with this the rest of my life. You know how many times I've heard that in counseling? Well, this is the way my mom and dad were. This is the way my grandparents were. This is the way it just runs in our family. This is just the way we are. We've all got diabetes. We've all got heart disease. We've all been divorced. We all struggle with alcohol. We all been dope addicts. We all didn't get education past the third grade. It's just the way I'm going to struggle with this rest of my life. And I just want to look at them and say, well, enjoy it. What are you doing here? I don't say that. That's what I won't say. I'm not there to put them down. I'm there to encourage, and I will bring. But I have to bring you to the realization is, as long as you think that way, that's exactly what you're inviting in to continue that way. But when you understand who you are and where you're seated, then you know that where you're seated is higher than sin. Come on. And sin has to bow at the name of Jesus. And so therefore, that's why he's given us his name. When you speak the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. But you got to speak it from your position, not from an earthly knowledge. Because your authority comes from your positioning. And if all you see is yourself just as constantly struggling, little old, just weak, trying to be a child of God, bless God, just trying not to sin, go to heaven. No, you're more than a conqueror. Remember that? Remember Rome? You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved us, okay? Let's go. I got to move on. Where did I get to? Did I get to a verse or something? Did I finish that? I don't think I finished that up. Let's go verse 12. Okay, no, verse 13. Romans 10, 13. Can you put that up? Okay, boom. I like this. This is where we're at. Yeah, because this is an evil word. Go to verse 13. Yeah, there you go. Is that it? No. No, go to 11. Go to 11. Go to verse 11. 10? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Let's start right here. Likewise. Everybody say likewise. You, all you that got power, all of you that's got authority, look at that word. There's a southern redneck word if I ever heard one. Reckon. Hey, you gonna go get something to eat? Reckon so. Y'all coming over today? I reckon. The Lord good? I reckon he is all the time. Praise the Lord. That's just a good southern word, amen? But the word reckon also means that you are to be considered as, or that you can imagine this. In other words, you can see this. So when we understand that word reckon, it means likewise you, the authority of Christ, you need to reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed, to sin. If you consider yourself and you can imagine sin, you giving into it, you got a great chance of going ahead and giving into it. But when you can imagine and you can consider and you can see yourself defeating sin because of the blood of Jesus in you, then you can reckon yourselves you are dead to that sin now. Are you understanding this? Reckon, see yourselves. You got to see this to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when that sin comes creeping at you, go, I'm dead to that now. You're dead to me. I'm alive to Christ who has whipped your tail. And you can stay it like that if you like. All right, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin. Do not let sin. Do not let sin. Say it with me over here. Do not let sin. Do not let sin. Do not let sin. Do not let sin. Let's say it all with authority. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not. That's a no compromise word there. Hey, come on, go back here where we used to party at. I do not go there anymore. Come on, turn this up with me. I do not drink that anymore. Hey, burn this one. I do not do that anymore. Hey, let's go chase her and him. I do not go there anymore. Hey, let's look at this. I do not let my eyes see that anymore. Hey, talk about this. I do not let my mouth gossip anymore. Careful. Verse 13, I got to move quickly. Oh, and by the way, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive, from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin, say it with me over here. Sin, sin, sin shall not. It shall not have dominion over you. It can't unless you agree with it. It's the only power it has. It's the power of your agreement. You have to say yes. Because anything less than yes, you say no to, it has to obey. Sin no longer has dominion over a child of God filled with the Spirit of the living God inside of him or her. Yes, it may tempt you, and it probably will. Sometimes daily, sometimes hourly. Sometimes when you wake up, sometimes when you're laying down. But it no longer owns you. It don't own you. It don't own your place. It don't own your mind. It don't own your body. It does not own you when you are owned and bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say thank you, Jesus? Man, I love that. It no longer owns us, for by grace we have been saved. Grace, again, let me give you the definition of grace real quickly. Grace does not just forgive your sins where you can keep doing them. Grace gives you the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome sin, not continue them. That is when you know you're operating in the real grace of God. And I got to move quickly, okay? Go ahead with the next note. Because we have been overcoming sin and we're the church, watch this next one. The church will absolutely continue to grow. Anywhere that the body of Christ is, that knows who they are in Christ, knows who Christ is, knows the war's already been won, they're part of it, seated in heavenly places, walking through sin but not attached to it, overcoming it in the name of Jesus, gathering together as the ecclesia, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ himself on earth will always continue to grow through every season, through every battle, through every war. It does not matter. It will be here until Jesus comes to get it. And when we quit looking at church as something to tolerate versus something we celebrate and we live in here and we take it out there, then the earth will begin to know that the church is alive. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you out of here on time. I'll try close to it. I'm going to skip some stuff as far as reading it to you. But how many know the first church started in the book of Acts? We know that. In the book of Acts, let me tell you something. They didn't sit down and go, are we at war? Are we at a spiritual war? Our Lord and Savior had just been crucified right in front of their eyes. There was a war going on. But they understood the cross. They understood the war had just been won. They understood Satan had just been totally defeated. And where they once kind of shut back and wouldn't go, and they all abandoned Christ, and Peter denied him three times. Now all of a sudden in the book of Acts, if you go to Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people get saved. The church is at war, but the church is growing and it's advancing. Why? It knows its authority because of its position. Acts chapter 2, 3,000 get saved. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 more get saved. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the number of disciples multiplied and grew greatly. Acts chapter 19, verse 20, the word of God grew mightily and prevailed against all evil. That was the first church in a war, in a spiritual war and a physical war. They were being hunted, they were being killed, they were being persecuted, but yet they were advancing. And the Church of America today gets one little thing going on wrong, and we're just all going to shriek back and go, okay. I'm not going to get out and I won't talk about Jesus. I'll be a good little Christian. I'll just go to church and keep it inside those walls all day long. And I've told you, when they regulate you to just keeping it in here, amen, there'll be a time when they'll tell you, you can't even do it in here. Right. It's already happening in other places. It has been happening since that day. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This thing's a survivor because it's the champion. Yes. Come on. Do you know this survived Rome? This survived the Roman Empire. Trying to smash it and kill it, kill them, kill this. It shouldn't have survived. But it did supernaturally. This Bible has been persecuted. The Word of God in the church has been persecuted. We haven't experienced it here, but trust me, there's persecution going on today. And the church and those persecuted things, they're not shrinking back, they're growing. Right now, one of the biggest revival, you know where it's happening? Iran. I talked to some missionaries that have ties over there. They're like, man, it was already going on before America started bombing. But man, they are pressing now, man. People are coming to Christ left and right over there. Thank you, Jesus. There have been wars in every nation, on every land. The church has always continued to thrive and to grow. Come on. In pockets, at least somewhere. It has survived dictators, governments that's tried to ban it, and legally, lawfully, under their satanic laws, they've tried to ban it, but it just keeps getting stronger. Pakistan, you don't understand, the Middle East is having revival. They're having encounters and dreams with angels and Jesus in their dreams, coming to Christ left and right. And I'm going to speak in the now time for America. The church and the Word of God, up until now, and it has survived every socialist, fascist, communist nation. Because it has to. And it always will. There's always a remnant. Governments have risen against God and the Word and the church, and governments have fallen. It looks like they've got a victory, but it isn't. So let me tell you something about the church. Go ahead and put it up. The church has and will remain until Jesus comes again. It will. But we're one generation, if we don't pass this thing on, they'll allow this crap to come in and take over. And there'll have to be a remnant that tries to rise up through it. But they will. So go ahead and put up the next to the last note. We're getting close. Our final victory is absolutely 100% guaranteed. Guaranteed. And again, I'm going to try to not read the particular scripture. If you look at Revelation 19, it's where Jesus returns, not with suffering again. Thank you, Jesus. He's not coming back to die again, folks. He's coming back as ruler. Amen. King of kings and Lord of lords. The established things. If you go to Revelation chapter 20, that's where Satan gets judged forever. Thank you, Jesus. And in Revelation 21, the Bible declares for us that are in him, there is no more death, there's no more tears, there's no more pain, there's no more curse, there's no more darkness, and there'd be no more warfare. It'll all be over. And guess what? We win. Yes. So stand to your feet. Don't fear the darkness while we're here. Don't fear the darkness when it comes over a land. Number one, don't allow it. Number one, don't allow it. Don't allow it on your watch. Some people have the mentality toward these end times things and the things going on. Well, I mean, you know, the Bible says it's going to happen. And they're right, but it don't have to happen during your lifetime, because he's given you a way to live that if you live, you prosper and your nation prospers. You understand that? We just sit back and just kind of forfeit the battle. Oh, well, the Bible says Satan's going to rise up, going to have my man. I'm just going to sit back and watch it. You idiot. I love you and God loves you, but that's just stupid. I don't know. That's doctrines of demons. So what do we do with the darkness when we see it approaching? You go toward it. Because light dispels darkness. That's all you got to do. Well, we're going to come into the schools and we're going to teach CTR. We're going to start teaching the LGBTQ in your community schools, and the school board has voted on it. All the church has got to do is grab the sword, go down on the steps and say, you're not stepping foot in here and teaching that garbage to our kids. Not going to happen. And you'll be amazed if the church would unite and do something like that. You'd be amazed all of a sudden. But as long as the Christians just sit there and are, while the battle's going on, only time you need to do this when the battle's going on to see where the war is at and say, where do you need to send me to, Lord? Oh, that's happening there. I need to go. Well, the culture's just changing so much. Influence the culture. Influence your workplace. Influence the sphere of your influence around where you're at. Do it in a godly, loving way, but don't compromise when it comes to the Word of God. It might cost me my job, like God can't get you another one. I love my mama, but she had a little bit of spirit of fear on her from some stuff. And some of the, a lot of stuff I did, she just, I told y'all, everything was going to kill me. You're going to get killed doing that. You're going to ride a motorcycle, get killed. You're going to get ate by a shark when you go diving. You're going to fall off one of them bluffs you're rappelling and climbing. And no, Mom, I'm not, in Jesus' name. And I'll never forget, I was going to speak at a rally for marriage. And well, now you just need to stay home. You could get arrested. I said, somehow I don't think if I stand before the Lord and say, God, I got arrested for you standing on your word, I don't think he's going to go in. Well, you can't come to heaven then. I said, and if I get arrested, Mom, I'll go into prison ministry. Amen? Well, they could kill you. Go to heaven. I'm waiting for a downside. No longer here in heaven. Now, I'm not in a hurry to get there, because I still got a lot of work to do here. But we can't fear, because we've done won the battle. If you know the bully's already down, you just walk on. Come on. Let me just go to the last note. I know I don't want to run you too over time. Last note. Understand this. The devil has an expiration date. The church don't. I mean, it's over for him, and he knows he's got an expiration date. He's just trying to gather up as much people to have that expiration of your life on earth and not make it to heaven and go to hell with him. I'm trying to let you understand, you don't have an expiration date. We have a promotion date, and I want to get as many people to go to heaven with the kingdom of God, and we come back down here and we rule and we reign with Jesus. And here's the thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you get to choose. So bow your head this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would think long and hard before I got out of here about doing that today. I'm not trying to scare you into heaven, because if I can scare you into heaven, somebody could scare the hell out of you and make you turn your back on him, okay? But let me just tell you, it is real. Jesus Christ, the only one who ever died for you, rose for you, loves you, besides you sinning against him, just like I have and done before. But I am forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I'm accepted into the kingdom of heaven right now. I am not perfect, but he is. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So today, without any strings attached, we're not asking you to join church today. We're not asking you to become religious today. We're asking you to become a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting from your sin, surrendering your life to him and saying, here I am, Lord. I'll live for you. I'm going to grow in you, because I want to be a part of the back of the book that says I've already won the war. If that's you today, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. Anybody? Real quickly, anyone? Right here. There's one. Come on, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anybody else? Real quickly. All right, we're going to pray with our new brother in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's pray this together. Come on, say, Father, I come to you right now. I don't know everything, but I know enough right now to believe and confess and repent from my sins to you. I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And you came from earth as a man and died to defeat and conquer death, hell, and the grave for me today. So today I repent, ask you to forgive me, and I invite you of my own free will and accord to come into my whole life as I surrender it to you. Be my Lord and my Savior forevermore. Today I confess that right now, by faith in Jesus Christ, that I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. And I declare that He is my Lord and He's my Savior. I am now His child, and nothing, nothing can take that from me ever again. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.